Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I was walking over to my side of the man cave, and I overhear Seton O'Connor say to the other Danettes, "You think Steve Kerr's overrated?" And I went, "Wow, that's a bombshell." Yeah, Seton.
Well, I think I said, "Do you think Steve Kerr's overrated or underrated?"
Oh, I didn't hear the under.
Yeah. I said overrated or underrated, okay. If you had to pick one.
Oh, okay.
That's maybe a poll question.
All right. Is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated? Did you know that he's missed a couple of games coaching? Like, what other sport can you miss a playoff game as a coach or a manager? And you go, no big deal. It'll be good. Mike Brown, the interim head coach. But Steve Kerr's going to the Hall of Fame. Now, you might say he inherited a pretty good roster. No, you can say he inherited a pretty good roster. You got Steph Curry, you got Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Although at the time when he got those players, we didn't know that they were going to turn out to be Hall of Famers. I think there was still a question mark with Steph Curry, with his ankle. Is he going to be able to withstand the rigors of the NBA? But Steve Kerr has done pretty well taking over Mark Jackson's team. Yes, Seton.
Some people call that being born on third.
Born on third.
I don't know if that's fair. But
he did well on third.
Well. Yes, he's done very well on third.
Okay. Yes, Paulie.
Steve Kerr showed up with the Warriors in 2015. I think that was his first ever coaching job, right? He was a GM?
With the Phoenix Suns.
So his first ever coaching job was Curry, Durant, Curry and those guys. He was 67-15 his first year.
Okay.
73 wins the next year.
Okay. It's not supposed to be that easy, but he was also an assistant coach with Greg Popovich for quite a few years. He also was with Michael Jordan with the Bulls. How many championships does he have? How many titles was he a part of as a player, assistant coach, and a head coach? Yes, Todd?
I know 5 as a player, 3 as a coach. That's 8 right there already.
How many as an assistant coach? I'm going to guess he won a couple with the San Antonio Spurs. So he's decorated. Is he overrated or underrated? Yeah, Paul.
You could say he's very good at keeping the drama down out there. It seems like he keeps things cool, supports his players to the hilt.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of managing a team, not coaching a team.
Well, I also think you learn from Popovich and Phil Jackson on how to handle stars. And Phil, I mean, you could look at Phil and go, he's pretty lucky. He lucked into the Bulls, you know, when they fired Doug Collins, and all of a sudden you inherit Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. That's pretty good. And then he handpicked the Lakers. It's like Shaq and Kobe. I think I can make those guys champions. Yeah, Seton.
It's a great point about being able to keep drama down, because just bringing in a player like Kevin Durant and then having him leave right away, the amount of drama that really must have been going on there, and it really only kind of simmered. It never really boiled.
Yeah, I think we're starting to hear dribs and drabs of what exactly was going on at the time, and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and you know, they recruited him to come and play with them, and then he leaves, and then there's a little bit of bad blood there. But is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated? I guess I'm going to say he's underrated with his ability to tap into the talent that he had and make them even better offensively. Because defensively, people always underestimated the Golden State Warriors defensively. They were a good defensive team. I don't know where they rank now, but with Klay and Draymond, those are really good defenders. Mark Jackson emphasized defense with that team. Steve Kerr came in and said, we're going to emphasize offense, and really changed the sport. Steph Curry changed the sport, but Steve Kerr realized what he had. And I remember talking to Steve Kerr. I said, when did you give Steph the green light? And he talked about, you know, there was a moment where you just go, he's making those shots. It's one thing to take those shots. It's another thing where you go, no, he's going to make them. As a head coach, you probably are not going, that's part of our game plan. That's who we are. That's how we're going to play. But Steve Kerr, who was a great outside shooter, had to embrace that at some point and just say, that's what, coaches are control freaks. You know, Pat Riley famously would coach every single possession. Mike Fratello, every single possession. They would just drain the joy out of the game. And it got to the point where some of these coaches had to allow their talent to just showcase their talent. And I think that's what Steve Kerr is probably going to be remembered for, that he won. He knew how to win. He knew how to blend in. He played a great role with Jordan's Bulls as an assistant coach. GM-wise, I don't think he was decorated. He got fined because of one thing he said on this show when he was GM of the Phoenix Suns, having to do with LeBron James. But what he's done now, because I think you forget that they go to the finals. I mean, how many times have they gone to the finals with Steve Kerr and their favorite to go to the finals this year facing the Dallas Mavericks? But I would say he's probably a little underrated because, this, you know, we talk about Golden State and we talk about the stars. It's almost like Phil Jackson got credit, but I think that was difficult to get that credit because Michael was so omnipresent. And it was like, yeah, this is Michael Jordan, coached by Phil Jackson. And then even going to the Lakers, when you have that marquee talent, sometimes you get lost in the mix there. When you have the plucky underdog team, then we talk about the coach. Wow, they went 41-41 this year. What an unbelievable job by that coach. But if you win 73 games, we tend to talk about the talent. Yeah, Paul.
Here's Steve Kerr's playing career. He's known as a clutch shooter. Didn't start a lot of games, so it's totally mostly a bench player.
Is somebody known as a non-clutch player? Do they ever label them that?
There's a guy on his team who was known as a not clutch player. He, in his last seven seasons in the league, Steve Kerr won seven titles without starting one game in the regular season or playoffs. He also left the Bulls when the Bulls broke up, jumped over to the Spurs, got a title. And then his last season in the pros before he retired, he got one more title with the Spurs. He ended perfectly. But his shooting percentage in the playoffs, he's like 45% from three.
Yeah, but how many of those are contested? If you have Michael Jordan on your team, odds are you're probably going to get an open look. Just saying. But he won two as a role player with the Spurs.
Yeah.
And then was he on Popovich's coaching staff after that?
Checking.
Okay.
I just see him with USA Basketball with Popovich, like 2017 to 2021.
I thought he was an assistant coach. And I remember when he was going to coach the Knicks, and he turned down Phil Jackson. I went, wow. He turned down the Knicks to coach the Warriors. He turned down Phil Jackson. Talk about a great decision. I mean, you can say, hey, you kind of ended up on third base with the Warriors, but he was smart enough to say no to Phil Jackson. Welcome to the program. As you can tell, already in progress. We have basketball coming up tonight. Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics at the Heat. Heat with a slight favorite going into this game. The Lightning and Panthers, Blues and Avalanche. with Stanley Cup playoff action. Tiger's good to go for the PGA. I was watching the coverage yesterday on Golf Channel. And normally, when you're watching the the analyst looking at somebody, analyzing, they're going to analyze their swing. You know, maybe their putting, but their swing. They were analyzing Tiger walking. Yeah, he looks good. Hey, he looks a lot more comfortable. Not as measured as he was at Augusta. I don't know what that means. Tiger looked good, you know. But the question is, the heat is going to be an issue in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But he is walking better. And I think that was the big issue. It wasn't his swing. I think he got tired. I think he got tired the last 2 days at Augusta. And, you know, those scores showed it. But that's a tough course to walk. This will have the heat as well. And I think that'll be interesting to see Tiger and the durability, if he's able to keep that up for four rounds. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Our stats of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the DP Show. Make sure you go to danpatrick.com. Penny's Bang Biscuits there. We're really proud of these. Bite-sized treats, perfect rewards during your training sessions, or anytime you want to give your little puppy a treat for good behavior. Handmade from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients, and 20% of all Bang Biscuit sales given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry. Say good morning. Good morning to those watching on Peacock. It's our streaming partner. And we also have Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, nearly 400 cities around America, the most listened to sports talk show in America. Reggie Miller a little later on. Mike Florio on the curious meeting between the NFL and Deshaun Watson this week. Don't know if it's an investigation, a meeting, introductory chat here. But we'll talk to Florio about that. Also, if the Broncos are going to be worth $4.5 billion, what are the Dallas Cowboys worth? 10? We'll talk to Florio about some of these items here. The Broncos still up for sale. Seton, you got a poll question for me.
Do we want to?
Oh, you're going to go. How about
I'm just asking because I don't want to be insulting. I don't mean to insult someone who's been a very good friend of the show, but okay. It's kind of a fun topic.
So is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated?
We could do that. We could do here's another one.
Okay.
This is, again, it's not meant to be insulting to anyone.
No, that means it's from Paulie and it's meant to be insulting.
I don't think it is from Paulie.
Okay.
Who's had a luckier coaching career?
Luckier?
Steve Kerr, Phil Jackson.
Okay, that's you.
Don't pin this on me. I'm proud of you.
I'm just saying there's a real skill or an art to being in the right place at the right time.
You know, you can be a really good coach, but if you don't have the players, it doesn't matter. Having had Jerry Krause in Chicago and Jerry West in Los Angeles, boy, that can really help a coach out. And give credit to the Golden State Warriors. They draft, aside from James Wiseman, they draft really good players. I mean, Klay Thompson was not a household name at Washington State. Draymond Green was a curiosity at Michigan State. Steph Curry was undersized, and who's he going to guard in the NBA? Well, that all worked out. I got to give credit to the front office for doing some heavy lifting there as well. Yes, Eden.
Okay, how about this?
Oh, no.
This one is not for me. Sports where the head coach / manager is least necessary on game day. The three options that were presented are baseball, basketball, and football.
All right.
I think I know which one's going to finish last in that, but
football, you got to have your coach there on game day.
Feels like these most necessary.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Okay. Now, over the past 2 years, we've seen a lot of coaches out, mostly due to COVID, but We've seen actual games. In the NFL, let's say the coach is not calling the plays. What is the head coach doing if he's not calling the plays during an NFL game? I'm sure he's doing things, but I'm guessing they could miss him for a day.
Well, I think you're sort of bringing in information from your different coaches there. And I think if somebody says something like, hey, we're going to do this, or this is the approach. You know, Belichick famously changes his game plan during a game. He changes quarter to quarter, half to half. I don't know how many coaches do that. I know Belichick probably gets too much credit there. You know, he takes away your biggest weapon, Yep, he's the only coach who's ever thought of this. Don't they ever say to somebody, like, hey, you took away their best weapon? It's always, you know what Belichick does? He takes away your best weapon. Do you think any other coaches go, we'd do the same damn thing? Yes, Todd.
Yeah, it's like you would think, maybe we should double-team that guy in basketball. He seems to be scoring 40, 50 points
a game. Well, no, I rail against that. There are times when I go, they're going to let this guy take the game-winning shot. And then he makes the game-winning shot. And then afterwards, people go, oh, my God, how'd you let him take the game-winning shot? Yeah, Paulie.
But a football coach doesn't really handle the substitutions. The substitutions are based off pre-scheduled plays and packages. So he's not like, man, should I put in Johnson? Smith is really cold. Basketball coaches have to make decisions about players going in and out. Those are made-up names, by the way.
Thank you.
Should I put in Johnson?
Smith is cold.
Yeah.
That was a dramatic license.
Yeah, but Steve Kerr missed a couple of games. I didn't hear anybody say anything.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, it's like
a very fair point.
Yeah, Steve Kerr didn't coach.
Which is the whole jumping off point for this topic.
Yes.
As a head coach.
Is Steve Kerr overrated or underrated?
And people think baseball managers are just there to go, hum, babe.
Little bingo, babe.
Yep. We'll stick.
Well, no, they do have to overmanage. Like, they, you know, managers overmanage. I'm not sure how many coaches overcoach in today's game. Whereas, you know, a baseball manager is going to go, going to have to make a call to the bullpen. And then somebody comes in and faces one batter, and you go, yep, I'm going to have to go to the bullpen again.
Hey, let me go argue this one. I'm going to get thrown out for the boys.
Yep. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, I don't know that the and plus, was it Joe Girardi who has the book? Doesn't he have, like, a big binder? I think it was Joe Girardi. He would, like, have a big binder, and it had, like, every scenario you could possibly go to. And he would, oh, let's go to the binder and see what we're supposed to do here when there's, you know, two men on, two out in the seventh, and we got a lefty facing a righty.
If Johnson gives it up, bring in Smith.
Right.
Yes, Todd.
Now, what's the hockey coach doing? Once the lines are established, after this number of minutes, the line two comes out. This guy's come out, and the line three comes out. What are you doing during it? Go get the puck. There's the puck. Go get it.
Well,
get in the net. Get in the net. Oh, you missed it. Get in the net.
Thank you, Todd. Get in the net.
Check him. Check. Hit him. Hit him the boards.
Yes, Paul.
It's a fair point. I would assume in hockey, I don't know what like hockey people do, that the line changes are somewhat scheduled by time. And that you're like, hey, line two, take a break. You guys done enough work. They're going to go line three, and they're all like whole surprised that they're
going
in.
You got to make the decision to pull the goalie. Do they pull the goalie? You got to pull the goalie. Pull the goalie. No, they're not going to pull the goalie. Yes, yeah,
there are hockey fans right now listening to this whose minds are exploding.
So upset.
They are like, oh, my God, you guys know nothing. You guys know nothing about this sport.
Finally talking about hockey, and this is what you're going to say?
Hit it in the net.
Direct your criticism to Fritzy.
Go get the puck. Here's the puck.
Get the puck. Put it in the net. Check him.
He went over the blue line there.
Icing.
Icing. Why do you keep hitting it all the way down the other end? Icing.
Great. Let's take a break. We came out of the gate on fire. We crushed that segment. Take a break. Phone call, settle on a poll question. Florio a little bit later on. Reggie Miller a little bit later on. You got Celtics at the Heat. I'm talking about the Heat. Game one tonight. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have real credit card questions, you want to have somebody to answer those questions, like a real live person, a human being who actually understands your issues, who've probably been on hold trying to get answers to credit card questions in their life. A knack for helping somebody, somebody with a pulse. In other words, you don't need a robot. That's why Discover offers helpful, U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. We call this live customer service, the emphasis on the word live. Discover exceptionally common sense. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
We'll get to phone calls coming up. Settle on our poll question. Nick in Cincinnati tweets, Marvin would be good at shorthanded goals.
Oh, bloop, come bloop. On.
That Dang. Was Nick in Cincinnati who said that. Just saying.
Come on, Nick.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, we were questioning all sports, not just hockey. We didn't even put hockey on the poll question there. People. Yeah,
why don't we add it?
Well, then the hockey fans will think we're picking on them.
Get it in the net.
You'd be a great coach in hockey, Fritzy.
Got to get the puck. Get it. What are you doing? Can't just skate around in circles. We have a mission here. Got to get the puck and get it in the net, for crying out loud.
Oh, this problem. This program brought to you by this problem. Brought to you by Simply Safe. There's always somebody looking out for you. To claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off, go to simplysafedan.com. Yes, Paulie.
I was watching hockey the other night with my daughter, and it's the first time ever watching. She was asking me hockey questions, and I'm obviously not a hockey expert. I know the basics and most of the rules. But I was explaining line changes to her, and I was like, well, you know, the first line are usually the better players, and then it goes down from there generally. And she goes, why do they do so many line changes? I'm like, well, guys get tired. She goes, why don't they just put the best players on for the entire period? Then they'll be tired equally. And I was like, I didn't have an answer for that. Like, I just assumed hockey players would drop after a few minutes.
Yeah, I don't even know how long those
shifts
are.
I think it's under 3 minutes generally.
Yeah, look at us breaking down hockey here.
So for people who are always on like social media being like, why don't you guys ever talk hockey? This is why we don't talk hockey.
get in the net.
Yeah, get it in the net.
Yeah.
You guys got to get Evgeny Malkin on. The Penguins should have won that series. Why aren't you talking to Malkin? Blowing it. You guys are blowing it.
According to some random website, the average hockey shift is 48.6 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
All right. Some phone calls here. Andrew in Washington is back. Hi, Andrew. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan and Danettes. Hope you had a great weekend. real quick, I do have a stat of the day. Surprise, surprise. But, Dan, I still had a question for you. We are one step closer to the NBA Finals, and I was wondering if you put a pie to the face on an NBA Finals bet between the Heat and the Golden State Warriors if they make it there. If the Heat win, you take a pie to the face. The Golden State Warriors win the championship, I take a pie to the face.
No, I picked both Golden State and Miami to play for the NBA championship.
Well, but you picked Golden State to win, and I picked the Heat to win.
Well, I feel like a winner if both of them get there.
Well, you're always you're winning every day.
I don't want to take a pie to the face just because I picked both these teams to go and Miami would happen to win. But give me your stat of the day there, Andrew.
All right. Rookie phenom pitcher Hunter Green for the Cincinnati Reds threw 39 pitches over 100 miles per hour in a single start. This is the most by a pitcher in a single game since 2008 and happened earlier this year in what was only Green's second career start.
Now it's commonplace. You're throwing over 100 miles an hour. I think there's a college pitcher. He might be at Tennessee. And he threw 105. It's like an FM station. 105.5. The flamethrower. Do you remember, was it Terry Mulholland? When he threw a pitch, he broke his arm while delivering the pitch. I think it's Terry. Or Dave Dravecki.
Yeah, Dave Dravecki of the Giants, I think, did.
Yeah, so left-hander. And he wasn't a hard thrower. I just think at some point, somebody is going to break their arm throwing a pitch. And if you, I remember when, I think I was doing SportsCenter at the time, and you could hear the bone break when Dave Dravecki threw that pitch. Yeah, Paulie.
I've been reading about this Tennessee pitcher, and everyone's enthralled that he throws that much. Don't we see the inevitable ending for guys who throw over 100 multiple pitches in an inning?
Yeah, Tommy John.
Yeah, and I remember long ago we had Rob Dibble on the show, and he told a story about Greg Maddux. He said Greg Maddux used to throw over 95 when he was like a rookie in the first couple of years. Then he said, how about I control it and make it 92 and then 87 and vary the speeds, and I'll have a longer career and more variety of pitches.
What Maddux figured out, and very few pitchers have followed this blueprint, is I'm going to have you get you out. I'll let you put the ball in play. And Maddux was a great fielder, won gold gloves, many gold gloves, I think, as a pitcher, because he was ready for you to hit the ball. And when he was with Chicago, he was trying to strike everybody out. And that's really, like, Maddux probably wouldn't have that same philosophy now because everybody's trying to hit a home run, not put the ball in play. But you see these pitchers, and it's just, hey, come on up, throw as hard as you can for as long as you can, and then that's it. You'll need Tommy John. I mean, Tommy John, it just feels like that's the natural progression you have as a pitcher. Like, if you had Tommy John, you had TJ? Not yet. All right. Let me know when you get it. Yeah, Paul.
So the pitcher for Tennessee is named Ben Joyce, and the other day he got a lot of pub because he had pitches of 102, 103, and 104 in the same at-bat. And then he had an off-speed pitch, his version of off-speed pitch, that was 91 miles an hour.
Yeah, Seton.
I was just completely off topic, but looking at the average length of a hockey shift.
Yeah.
47 seconds.
Thank you, Seton.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Oh, did you already say that?
Yeah, front row had it at 48 seconds, I think.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I missed that.
There's a good show going on.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I just thought that was a crazy number, but I missed it.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
I thought it'd be a lot longer than that.
Thank you, Tom.
That's not very much. Had to say it.
47 seconds is a pretty good shift, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Not on her end of the ice.
That'd be a record.
You ask people on her end of the ice, and they won't say that. You know what I'm saying?
Fritzy's wife might go.
Oh. Yeah. It's her birthday today. Shout out.
She wants a 5-minute major, not a 47-second shift.
Or she might not.
No.
She might want more a 30-second shift.
No.
No offense.
No offense.
Yeah.
Made lemons out of lemonade right there, huh?
Yeah.
Nobody talks hockey better than that. Nobody. Anyone can. Malkin's great. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Brian in Wisconsin joins us. Hi, Brian. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. 6'4", 290, first time, long time. Just wondering who you think the Lakers are going to trade this offseason.
I don't know if they're trading anybody. I said this from the beginning when the season ended. I was told by somebody around the Lakers, they're going to try to make Russell Westbrook work. And I thought, okay. And any coach who comes in has to know that that is a priority. You got to make Westbrook work within the system with the Lakers, with who you have, because I don't know what other options they have. But I don't, if you're going to trade somebody, you're going to trade Anthony Davis. You're going to trade LeBron. Who's going to invest? What are you getting in return? I mean, they're really in salary cap and draft pick hell here. Not much you can do, no matter who that coach is. And it does feel like, doesn't Quinn Snyder of the Jazz look like the coach who should be the coach of the Lakers? Hey, they did a movie on the Lakers, and you go, well, who's going to play the coach? Quinn Snyder. We'll have Quinn Snyder play. And I don't know if he's going to stay in Utah, if he wants to stay in Utah, what changes will happen in Utah. Rudy Gobert going to be with the new team? What are they going to do with Donovan Mitchell? Just feels like their window of opportunity is closed as well. Phoenix Suns, DeAndre Ayton, what happens with him? Chris Paul gets a year older here. And I get into arguments with former players, and they're like, you know, you don't have Chris Paul high enough on your list. And I said, I just think there's a ceiling with Chris Paul. I think he's a wonderful player, but are there other point guards I'd rather have? There are. Chris Paul is very good. A Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. But there's a ceiling that's attached, you know, it's a glass ceiling. And he hasn't broken through that. And as much as I give him credit for being the most valuable player on the Phoenix Suns, I also have to criticize him as well. You're the most valuable player, you need to step up. And he didn't step up. And what is that now? Five times in his career, he's been the point guard on a team that went up 2-0, which means you had to lose 4 of the next 5. Yeah, Paul.
One thing about the topic, Chris Paul feels like the last point guard, where passing is first and shooting is second. I've got the assist leaders here in the NBA.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was clearly number one. Then you got Harden, Trae Young, Luka, Darius Garland. These are shoot first guys. Darius Garland's a shoot first guy. He's got a lot of assists. Jokic, he's a center. Kyle Lowry is probably the second most point guardish guy in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's very few pass first guys.
But is Luka a point guard? This is why we get into these designations, and it's dangerous. Because Scottie Pippen was a point forward for the Bulls. Draymond Green is a point forward for the Golden State Warriors. But when you talk about great point guards of all time, is Luka now a better point guard than Chris Paul? Of course he is. I mean, if you're going to say, wait, what is the designation? Just because they put you out there as a guard? I mean, LeBron's been a point forward, point off guard his entire career. Does anybody say anything about where LeBron is amongst point guards of all time? Is LeBron the greatest point guard of all time?
Hot.
But you know, we don't have that designation. Well, he's 6'9", he's not a point guard. Okay. Luka? Yeah, but he's really a forward. Okay. He handles the ball more than anybody on the team, leads the team in assists, and same with LeBron. So if you reclassify point guards here, you know, Magic was, you know, the unicorn. But if Magic was a forward, let's say he was listed as a forward, but he still played the way he did, would we say he's a point guard? Now, Magic was a true point guard. But, you know, LeBron came in and he was a pass-first guy. But he wasn't labeled a point guard because Cleveland had Eric Snow at the time. Well, LeBron was the point guard there. But I don't think if you see, look at greatest point guards of all time, Paulie. Just see what random list comes up and see if LeBron James's name is on there. Because I'm going to guess it's not.
I've got two in front of me. He's nowhere near it. He's not considered a point
Why?
Guard.
Why? That's why it's flawed when we start labeling these players.
They have a stat called player touches, which basically means how long a player in the NBA touches the ball in any one possession. Luka Doncic led the league with, it's like 9.3 seconds per possession. Mm. The ball is in his hands. That's the most in the league.
Oscar was the first oversized point guard. Oscar was 6'5", probably 230 pounds. And he had great athleticism, but he was bigger than everybody out there. And, you know, so he was the first of his kind. Because before that, you had your point guard was, you know, the preeminent point guard was Bob Cousy. Well, Bob Cousy was, what, 6 foot, 180? Oscar came in, and that just changed the whole dynamic at that position. It took a while for players to, at that size, be able to do what Oscar did. You know, Jerry West was 6'4", 6'5", but he wasn't even listed as the point guard. I think he had Gail Goodrich was the point guard, and he was known as a shooter. But the whole who's a point guard and who's not a point guard, I'm waiting to see a list where somebody says Magic's the greatest point guard of all time, LeBron is the second greatest point guard of all time. But I don't know if does Luka have to petition the NBA to say, I'd like to be listed as a point guard? Like, what else does he need to do? How he plays, outside shots, assists. Like, he dribbles as much as Trae Young does, and Trae Young's a point guard. That's why when you have these, if Luka is 6'4", 6'3", then we go, oh, yeah, he's a point guard. It's, well, you can't be a point guard if you're over 6'5". Well, it's flawed. It's like the all-NBA team. You shouldn't have a center, two forwards, and two guards because that's not what the game is. What is a center now? A center now is not what a center used to be. And even these players who are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", handling the ball at all times, they guards? Is LeBron a forward? LeBron's usually listed on the all-NBA team as a forward, I think. He's not a forward. Yeah, Paulie.
Basketball Reference, which tracks players and also tracks what their designation is. When Luka was a rookie, he was designated as a shooting guard in the official books for the NBA. Hmm. The past 3 years, according to Basketball Reference, he's been listed as a point guard. Point guard. Hmm. On the Dallas Mavericks website, he's listed as guard, forward-guard, forward-guard. Hmm. So he might be listed technically as a point guard, and it just hasn't picked up yet.
Why do you have to list him as anything? I mean, that's the problem. LeBron doesn't have a position. Yes, Eden.
I'm reading a thing here that says LeBron James has officially been classified as a point guard for two seasons in his career, in 2019-2020 and then 2020-2021.
Wait, who said, okay, you're finally a point guard? How did they come up with that designation? That he has a certain number of assists, or that he's handling the ball a certain amount?
And is it like one of those things where, the tight end wants to be classified as a wide receiver? Or, you know, whichever maybe I have that backwards, where the wide receiver wants to be a tight end, whoever makes more money.
No, tight end wants to be a wide receiver.
Tight end wants to be the wide receiver, yeah. Just because it's like a money thing. I don't know that the money has to do in the NBA, but maybe there's a more official reason for designating them.
Unless it's making the all-NBA team, and it's easier to do that as a forward than a guard. Mm. Yes, Bowen.
I see it's right. Go back to 2019, LeBron James at training camp was designated as a point guard. That season, he led the league at 10.2 assists, and that's his career high as well. So I wonder if he went into the locker room during training camp and said, change my, because only he could change his designation. The team can't do it without, like, player permission. I wonder if he went in and said, guys, I have an announcement to make. No.
Yeah, but if Joel Embiid says, I want to be listed as a shooting guard, can you do it?
I think you can. LeBron did, and then he decided to lead the league in assists.
He's been a point guard his entire career. It's silly.
I like what
you're saying. It's like Steph Curry is not a point guard. He's a points guard. He scores. Draymond is a better point guard. He's a point forward, a better passer. Like, the numbers show that, don't they? All right, let me take a break. It's the little things that bother me. Yes, Marv.
In next segment, we're going to see if Paul Coffey can be more than just a defenseman. We're hockey guys now.
Thank you. Paul Coffey reference could have done a little better than that.
That's who I know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mark Messier?
We have some suggestions. Mike in Orlando, we have a new T-shirt. 47 seconds is a good shift.
Yeah, let's get it
going. Thank you, Mike. Let's take a break. Play of the Day's up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time.
I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball. But he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Playing and playing.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
2-0 pitch. And Taylor smashes one to right and deep. Going back is Smith. He's to the track, to the wall. It is gone. A home run. Chris Taylor, his third of the season. A two-run shot. And the Dodgers lead it 5-2.
Courtesy of our buddies, AM 570, LA Sports, Dodgers Radio Network. Dodgers won two in a row, regained the best record in the National League at 22-12. Play of the Day. Play of the Day is brought to you by Discover. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back. Use Discover to earn 5% cash back at gas stations and Target now through June on up to $1,500 in purchases when you activate. Learn more at discover.com/rewards. Limitations apply. I want to thank Michael Jordan and Sincoro. A little late with the birthday gift. My birthday was on Sunday, but got a huge bottle of Sincoro tequila with Mike's name engraved on the back with the other guys. There are five owners of Sincoro, so send us a big bottle. Bottle service later on here in the program. Yes, Paul.
I was watching a replay of the Jordan Bulls documentary, and the clip that was on was when Jordan retired from the Bulls the first time, and he was at the White Sox game. You were hosting SportsCenter that night, and I think it was Pat O'Brien was at the baseball game, yes. The White Sox World Series playoff game. Yeah. I don't think it was a World Series. I think it was a playoff game.
Yeah.
And the news broke as Jordan was there to throw out the first pitch. Jordan's up in the skybox with Reinsdorf and those guys from the Sox. Do you remember when you guys got it in the SportsCenter newsroom that night?
I don't remember, but I did call a shoe executive. And I said, is this real? Somebody at Nike said, is this real? And they said, yes. And they said, all right, we can go with it. Because we weren't quite sure. And there was just a lot of talk that was going on. And I had gotten word about Jordan taking batting practice. And this is from the same Nike executive. He said, keep an eye on Michael taking batting practice. Now, he was taking it in the cage underneath the stadium, I believe. And I just thought, it's so random. I said, well, what do you mean? Keep an eye on Michael taking batting practice. And he said, just keep an eye on him. And I just was like, okay, is Michael going to, you know, be part of Home Run Derby? Is he going to be out there prior to the game with the White Sox, you know, taking BP? And then all of a sudden, keep an eye on Michael in the batting cage. Yep, absolutely right. Chris in Vermont. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. 5'3", 160 pounds. Thank you very little. I got a stat of the day. Yankees this year started off 16-6. This would make the seventh time that they started a season 16-6. The prior 6 years, they started 16-6. They went to the World Series. Of those 6 years, they won the World Series 5 times.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. The Yankees right now are 26-9. The last time they had a better record through their first 35 games was 1939, when they were 28-7.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Nick in California. Hi, Nick. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. 5'9", solid 210. I know you haven't touched on it yet in regards to what Jerry Jones said, but I had a question for you. If the Dallas Mavericks win the finals, how would Jerry Jones feel that Mark Cuban got his second championship in about 11 years and Jerry Jones still hasn't gotten his in 30?
What was the comment or comments about Jerry? Was it me saying that we're quoting Jerry that the Cowboys could be worth $10 billion?
Yeah, okay. He came out and said that he could sell for $10 billion.
Yeah, and he might be able to, but I'm sure that that does leave him a little frosty if Mark Cuban gets his team even back into the NBA Finals there. Yeah, Paulie.
Why are the Cowboys worth more than any other team in the NFL, or is that just hyperbole? Is their fan base that much bigger than others?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're not successful.
No, no, but they're still
financially successful.
That fan base, yeah, that fan base is bigger than anybody else. And that's why you get former players who get an opportunity to be an analyst over just about any other team. You know, Tony Romo was a good quarterback. Nobody knew if he would be any good at this. Jason Witten got a chance on Monday Night Football. Why? He was a Cowboy. Jason Witten plays for the Bengals. He didn't get a chance to do that. But if you're a Cowboy, you know, Troy Aikman got an opportunity, and Troy's turned out to be very good. But it feels like you're going to get a better chance if you're a Dallas. Michael Irvin. Emmitt, they tried to make him into an analyst, and he wasn't good at it. But you get that opportunity because people know who you are. You're with the Cowboys. And people know you, either they like you or, you know, they despised you because of how good you were. But, yeah, Jerry, at some point, you know, you got to start looking around going, maybe the problem's me. Do you think Jerry ever says that? Do you think he ever says to his son, hey, do you think the problem could be me? Nah, it can't be me. It's just a coincidence that we haven't won. What are we up 30 years now? Something like that. They had a great run, though. I still look back, and when Jimmy Johnson left, it felt like Jimmy held Jerry accountable. And I think Jimmy got more credit than Jerry probably thought he deserved. Looking back, oh, I think he deserved even more credit. Mike Florio on the curious meeting this week with the league office and Deshaun Watson. One more item as we close out hour one. Sleep Number is here to the rescue. I get this question occasionally. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? I say, well, because every great day starts the night before. And then you get this puzzled look on somebody's face. They go, oh, that's right. Good night's sleep. That helps you the next day. No better time to try the Sleep 30 Challenge from Sleep Number. It's a 30-day sleep wellness program, and it's shown to improve sleep quality and change your sleep habits for the better. You can check out the program and you can do it for free. You go to mysleep30.com. So why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. Knowing more about your sleep helps you achieve your best quality sleep, and you get that great overall health and well-being. So it's time for Sleep Number's Memorial Day sale. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, a queen mattress, just $1,999 for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.